I tell you, I'm glad I came this morning. Everybody else feel that way? I'm glad I'm here this morning. Praise the Lord. And I tell you something else I'm proud of and glad to share with you this morning is God's still on the throne. I tell you what, there's ups and downs in this world, but God's still on the throne. And he's not been shocked by anything that happened. He's not been surprised or he's not been upset about it. But I tell you, God's on the throne. And I'm so thankful that he shared with us that Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct this church and his sons and daughters that we move in the right direction. How can we fail with God's power backing us? Amen. Now, I'm serious about it. You know, how can you actually think about failing or coming up short when God's power backs it? Now, if we're doing it on our own accord or our own power, we got problems. But I felt the Spirit of God here. Thank God for these young ladies. Woo! If I had talent like that, I'd be in a big church somewhere, probably, wouldn't I? You reckon? Nah, I'd be where God put me. That's where I'd be. But thank God for these young ladies come and share those songs with us. I tell you, it just uplifts me and excites me. Some of the greatest talent. And I'm not just talking about the younger ladies. We've got a lot of folks here with a lot of talent. And I'm just glad to and thankful for the songs they brought. I want to share some scripture with you this morning, just in a few minutes, what God's laid on my heart. Good to have Ethan with us. He's back here all bandaged up. Did y'all see him? He came in and he's got to have surgery Thursday. Now there's a prayer need. If you haven't got something else, pray about or add that to your list, you know. Pray about Ethan's surgery coming up on Thursday. Tore rotator cup. What else? Bunch, wasn't it? Bunch. Got a lot of stuff wrong with his shoulder. It's going to be a major surgery and y'all pray for him and God can help him through this. I think he may have wrecked a little bit. Just a little bit. I ain't going to say nothing else about that. I've wrecked them too, Ethan. And still do. Everybody does. So, I'll leave that up to Mom and Daddy. If they want to scold you, I'm not going to. He's a good kid. He's a really good young man. And so, hey, we all have wrecks, right? But y'all pray for him. That'll be coming up Thursday. And you can find out more from him about when the surgery's going to be and what hospital and stuff. And y'all be sure and pray for him. I want you, if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Just a few verses out of that. Some thoughts that God's put on my mind about faith, about believing. I want to start off with this. And I want you to think about it as we go through this scripture. I read a thing one time that Henry Ford had made a statement one time. He said, for all those who think they can, and for all those who think they can't, they're probably right. Y'all ever thought about that? You know, I read that the other day and I thought, how true and how real that is. For all those who think they can, and for all those that think they can't, they're probably right. And so we start thinking about what we believe and what we trust and what we think we can do and what we think we can't. And so when I read this, it ties right in with God's plan for faith and belief and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for salvation. It leads us right into the point that God gives us his promises. And I get thinking about if we believe we can, we can. Amen. If we believe we can, we can. And I'm talking about carrying out the work of God that he has so graciously left us when the Lord Jesus went away. He said, I'm going to leave this with you. Take it to all nations. And I thought, what a privilege God has blessed us with and what trust he had in us that he allows us to carry on the work of God while the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Now, he's coming back. Amen. I'm glad to say that. He's coming back. But we've got a responsibility and a duty. And then we've got the help of God and encouragement through the Holy Spirit that if we think we can, we can. Amen. And if you think you can't, get over it. Change your mind. That's what I'd suggest to you. You know, if you think, well, we can't do that, get over it. Just change your mind and think we can. And let's see how God blesses us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now I want to stop. I want to mention a few more things through this chapter, but I want you to notice it said, by it the elders obtained a good report. And so I got thinking about this good report because of their belief and their trust and their faith in God. Now, we're talking about way back, years ago. You know, it's going to cover a lot of things. It's going to cover Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah and Isaac. It's going to talk about the faith they had, the situations they found themselves in with the leadership of God, supplying them the faith to understand and believe. And I thought about, as you go through all this roll call of faith, what an example God gives us in this book of Hebrews about where our faith should be, and we should be believing, I can. You know, it's within our reach and possibility, because God is power and God is backing us in these things. It comes over a little farther in verse 6. It said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. And we're talking about God. That if we're going to please God, we're going to have faith that God gives us. You know, in Romans, and it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I thought, we need more Word of God preached. We need more Word of God taught. We need more Word of God that we read, that our faith might be increased, that we be pleasing to God. I've come this morning in hopes of pleasing God, believing what God can do in our lives. It goes farther. It said, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When I read this last night and started praying about it, and God just revealing it to me about being a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you've come here this morning seeking God, you're going to be rewarded. Now, you know, that'd be a good reason to go down to the house of God, wouldn't it? That we might worship and praise an almighty God. We might uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then know we're going to be rewarded for doing that. And I thought about the rewards that come in our life. The happiness, the joy, the pleasures that God blesses us with so often. And I got thinking again about what Henry Ford said. If you believe you can, you can. And so with that, and knowing that God is going to reward us for coming and diligently seeking Him. Did you come seeking the Lord this morning? You're going to be rewarded. You're going to be rewarded. I mean, you know, if we look around the nation and we hear the talk on TV, you know, their voice of doom and gloom about what the church is going to do and how this goes. My God said He's going to find faith on earth when He comes back. And I believe it. Amen. I'm accepting that and looking forward to it. And I believe that I can carry out His work and His responsibility that He blessed me with till He returns. Takes away the quit, don't it? Takes away the spot or place in your life where you think, I'd just give up, I'd just quit. Now, you know, I don't know if y'all ever have those thoughts or not. I have many times during my ministry through the years. Have quit one time, made a bad mistake, got mad. Quit pastoring Sulphur Spring because I got mad one day. Just quit. Told him I quit. I resigned. After about 2 or 3 weeks, hearing my wife cry herself to sleep at night because she knew I'd made a mistake. I knew I'd made a mistake. I was just too stubborn to admit it, but I got over it because God had punished me. And after about 3 weeks, one Saturday morning, just a little bit after daylight, here come 5 men from the church walking down. I was already down in the garden, sitting down there praying. And here's about 4 or 5 men from the church. That's about all they had then. They all came. And they said, we've prayed about this, and we want to come and ask you 2 questions. They said, did you make a mistake? And I said, I did. And they said, do you know that you was out of the will of God, and will you be willing to come back as pastor? After about 2-3 weeks, miserable, knowing I'd messed up, knowing I'd quit because of me, not because of God, knowing I wasn't finished there yet. And I told them, I said, if you'll let me come back, I'll walk. 11 miles, I said, I'll walk or I'll crawl. When you get the pride out of your life, knowing what God would have you to do, and get the stubbornness out of your system like I had to do, it's amazing what you can do for God. It's just amazing. You know, I learned real quick. I learned way back in my ministry, it's not all about me. It's about God. It's about His glory. It's about His honor. It's about His uplift. It's not about me as an individual all the time. I don't always have to be the one exactly pleased. As long as we please God, let the rest of it just the rough end drag, I guess. And so we talk about being rewarded. And now we come over in verse 13, and it starts giving a description and a summary of all these that we have spoken of. You know, I'm not going to go through all of them. You know what God did in their life and how they were obedient to following God. But in verse 13, it said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth." They had made their decision that they're not from this world. They've got better to come. And when it talks about they died in faith, they hadn't received the promise of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross of Calvary. But they believed it. Amen. They believed it. They looked forward to it. And I'm going to tell you, every one of these are going to be saved by the same grace that I'm saved by. Amen. They wasn't saved by the works or deeds. They had faith. And that faith is what's going to save them, because that Son of God died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the whole world. And I don't care if they live 4,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, or if they live in the future. It's the same thing. That grace is good. And I got thinking about how they embraced those promises. And I thought, what a wonderful church, what a wonderful world, what a wonderful community it'd be if we embraced what God did for us instead of complaining about what He didn't do. If we just... our mentality become that we're going to embrace and we're going to hug up with God because what He's done for us in our life. And I praise Him this morning for the salvation that's come. I praise Him for the joy, the heaven, the Spirit that He's blessed us with. And I'd love just to hug up and embrace Him this morning. Would you embrace God this morning? I'm talking about just hug Him up. When I thought about they hadn't received the promises, but they believe they're coming. Now that gets us back to the point that we haven't saw the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I believe it's coming. And I'm embracing God and I'm believing it with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul that things are going to be a different day one day. It said, For they that say such things declare plainly, they seek a country. Now, I thought a lot of times, what do we seek in life? What's our motivation? What's our drive in life? What are we after more than anything else? You know, there'd be a lot of answers here. You know, I know a lot of folks that it's about money, it's about property, it's about this, it's about, well, you know, our desire should be about heaven. That's where our mentality should be above everything else, that we're seeking that country prepared by God. That's why we're living this life on earth, and that's why we want to set the example and give the testimony of God and His power of salvation, that not only we, but others in our family and our friends and our neighborhood might also receive these promises that God's made. God said, "I promise." You know, I just love that. God says, "I promise," and you'll get it. God don't fail. God don't make a mistake, or there's no time that He welches on a deal. When He promises, it's going to come. Verse 15, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they may have had opportunity to have returned." And so they didn't pay much attention to the land they came out of. They were looking for the land to come. And you know, our mentality and mindset in the church today should be looking that God's going to deliver the promise He's given for this church. I'm telling you, we're going to be delivered one day. We're going to be caught up and caught out. Amen. And I'm glad to say that. In verse 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." God has prepared a city. And when I look, and they desire a better country. I've got better coming. It's only going to get better for me. If you're a child of God, it's only going to get better for you. Now, we may have some trial tribulations on this earth, but there's better coming. Just get through them. And when God delivers us into that kingdom, you'll forget all the troubles and sorrows and pains and stuff we went through here. And I think about so much how God has promised. Verse 17, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all got time for me to preach about 10 more minutes. Let's go back just a little bit, Father. Some more stuff coming on my mind. It's just, God, just, I guess you'd say it's a vision. I see this. Turn back with me, St. John chapter 9. St. John chapter 9. I prayed this morning before I came up here. I said, God, let me speak and you deliver it. Let my voice be heard, but your power demonstrate it. And I believe that's happened here this morning, that the power of God has been spread through the church, that we can hear, comprehend, understand, and become obedient to the Word of God. St. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, that's a reasonable question for disciples. You know, we look around the community and we want to condemn people. We want to be judgmental about people, say, well, they're having a hard time. They must not be right with God. But I'm glad to tell you that all trouble, all problems are not caused by disobedience. Sometimes they're for the honor and glory of God. Now, I want to make that very plain. So Jesus does. In verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And so it wasn't for disobedience. It wasn't for sin in his life or his parents' life. It wasn't for some ungodly act. It was for the honor and glory of God. And I got thinking about how we suffer the tribulations, the trial, and the broke shoulders sometimes, and I thought about how we ought to deal with those things. Say, okay, if this is for the honor and glory of God, so be it. You know, there's times that God is glorified by people looking at us and see how we come through trouble, how we relate ourselves to it, how we condition ourselves. Okay, we got trouble, we got sickness, we got sorrow, we got sadness, we've lost a loved one. And so many times God uses these things that people look on us and say, how does he handle it? You handle it because God handles it. You just keep going and keep moving ahead, keep moving forward for the cause of Christ. You don't give up. You don't quit. You don't let down. Okay, God's power is by the Holy Spirit. We've got that power available to each and every one of us. It says if we seek Him diligently, we're going to be rewarded. I look for an increase at New Salem Baptist Church. I look for an increase in my life. If you're rewarded from God, it'll be recognizable. I believe people will see it. Oh, well, God's rewarded him. Look here, he's got peace in his family. Look here, everybody's got well. Look here, their soul's being saved. Things changing in life. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The will of God being carried out, because here's a blind man from birth that's willing to obey and be obedient to the word of God. You think about this blind man. Jesus anointed his eyes. He put the clay in his eyes and told him, he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. If he hadn't went to wash, he'd still been blind. I believe this was God says, I'll do this, you do this. And his direction to him was to go wash in that pool, and he came seeing. He was no longer blind. A man been blind from his birth some 40 years, as best I can understand it, some 40 years, never saw anything, and all of a sudden he can see. Because he's faithful and believes what God can do, and faithful to carry out and do what God asked him to do. That God would open the eyes of a lot of people, that they'd get faithful, that their spiritual vision would be open, that they can see the promises of God, that they can see the increase of God's people on this earth. I'm not looking to go away. I'm looking to increase. I'm not looking to shut down. I'm looking to move forward. Because we've got this power and strength of God behind us. This blind man caused an awful stir. It caused separation. It caused a lot of disagreements. The Pharisees got into it, and they said, "Well, I don't believe he was ever blind." Isn't that just like somebody human? I don't believe he was ever blind. Well, he was. He was blind. And they could not admit that God had done a great work and a miracle. And I wondered about if they ever had a miracle in their life because of this unbelief. I'm going to stop right there. I think that's what God sent here. But just wonderful scripture this morning that God relates to us. Be obedient. Do what God calls you to do. Seek Him diligently. We expect a reward. Look forward to the promises that God's delivered and given us. Evan, let's have a verse for song. Sue and Glenda. Don't see Glenda. There's Glenda. Have a verse for song. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to close out the verse for song. If there's anything in life you'd like to pray about or come down and seek God diligently, expecting a reward, He says He'll do it. And as we sing this song, also anything you might have to pray about or want to bring down to God, this place is open and God's here. I don't do altar calls, God does, and I believe He's dealing with somebody's heart right now. Whatever it might take in your life, whatever the need is, if you'll come to God, He can handle it. I believe that. He can handle it this morning. So anybody need to come, y'all just start this way. Whatever your need is. Everybody sing it. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burdens light. Do another one, Evan. Do another one. And Almighty God, I hope you don't go away with something pending on your heart that you didn't bring to God. He can take care of it and answer it. And it's open for whatever you might need. I serve a God that can, will, and wants to. Isn't that a wonderful thought? A God that can, will, and wants to. That's the God I serve, and hopefully you know the same God I do. All right, I want to say, anybody that hadn't picked up your game dinner tickets yet, we're going to give some more of those out today. Of course, she's holding a baby right now. I don't know. But it got to be her turn to hold this new baby. You have to get in. It's like the lottery. You have to, just draw out to get to hold a new baby around here. But anyway, anybody that wants to pick up their wild game dinner tickets, it's coming up in February. Joan will be back there. Just go ahead and pick your tickets up. We're trying to get them all dispersed and out in everybody's hands. And then a little bit later, we'll set the time we're going to depart and leave. And so looking forward to that. Got about 140 tickets. Hope to have 140 folks represented. It's not all out of this church, but from all this community. And looking good. I got excited, got talking to them. They had 67 men and young men saved up there last year. Whew. I want to be in that meeting, don't y'all? That's the kind of meeting I want to be in. They said the Spirit of the Lord got strong. They had people saved all over the house, and that's just a wonderful thought. That's why I'm going. It's not about what I eat. It's about the spiritual food. I expect to come back fat. Whoa. I expect to come back fatter. Fatter. Okay. Any word or anything before we go? Anybody? Father, thank you, Lord, for another day you've blessed us with and an opportunity to just come out and worship and praise you. God, thank you for the good song service we had this morning, for the Sunday school class and the teaching, for the hour of your word shared. I just pray, God, that you just put it in people's hearts and minds, that they accept this, that they move forward for the cause of Christ. God, praying for the needs of the church, for the needs of the elder, for the needs of the sick, for the needs of the injured. God, that your touch and your hand be upon them during this time. Father, just give you the praise, honor, all things. Thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen.